Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, we want to focus for a few moments on the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. The parable of the laborers in the vineyard is a parable about how Christians who are forgiven of their sins and are the recipients of eternal life purely by grace through faith for Christ's sake, how they, the saved children of God, serve the Lord in his kingdom, the vineyard, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks about our lives of service to God as we seek, in accordance with his word, to glorify God and to love and bless our neighbor. So, that is the chief theme of the parable. It's about the service of professing believers in the kingdom of grace, that is, in the church. But it's important for us to pay attention to one interesting fact, and that is that this parable is hemmed in on both sides by the same statement. All right, in chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And then, at the end of the parable, in verse 16, Jesus once again says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." And so, one of the things that this parable is teaching us is that the arithmetic of grace is different than the arithmetic of the world and of the law, all right? The world and the law say you get what you deserve. And if you don't deserve it, you don't get it. But the arithmetic of the kingdom of God is the arithmetic of grace, because under the law, we are all utterly condemned, and no one is able to redeem himself by the works of the law. So if there is ever any hope for the redemption of anyone, it must always be purely by the grace and mercy of God for Christ's sake, and it must always be received by faith, not earned by working and achieving merit. Because the minute that we deceive ourselves into thinking that we deserve anything, or that our works and our service have earned merit in the eyes of God, we have fallen off the tracks and we are heading for a dismal crash. Now, this parable is told because there was a rich young man who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life. And they had a back and forth conversation. And Jesus said to him, finally, he says, go and sell what you have and give to the poor if you will be perfect, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this man was willing to do many works of the commandments. But when Jesus touched upon his besetting sin, which was his greed, his covetousness, he went away sorrowful. That is, he was unwilling. He was unwilling to let go of his besetting sin. And then Jesus said to the disciples, as they watched this great fish get away, all right? Jesus let this great prospect slip through his hands. And Jesus says to the disciples, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And his disciples now, they are exceedingly amazed, and they say, who then can be saved? And Jesus answers them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You see what Jesus is doing? He is trying to shift the disciples' attitude away from this lifelong works righteousness that by my good works, I earn merit with God. And so does everyone else. If we keep the law with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we will be saved. And so Jesus says, with men, this is impossible. It's impossible for men, by their obedience, to save themselves. But God is capable of doing what man cannot do. Simon Peter is a little bit shy now, and he's a little bit insecure, all right? And he says to Jesus, he says, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? You see, when Jesus tells the disciples that with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible, Peter is rendered insecure. He's unsure of himself. And so he says, well, we've left everything to follow you. What shall we have? And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on his throne of glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he encourages Peter that what man cannot do, God can do. And he promises them that they will be exalted in the day of judgment, and they will enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of glory. And then he further says, everyone that hath forsaken houses, brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold. So anyone who trusts in me and follows me will never really lose anything but their sins and their lost condition. And they shall in addition to receiving a hundredfold in this life, they shall inherit everlasting life. And that's when Jesus says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Because it doesn't always work out that the most impressive, the most diligent, and the most apparently hardworking people end up in possession of true faith and a proper attitude of gratitude for grace given and received. And that's where our parable comes in for the day. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who goes out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And that first group at 6 o'clock in the morning, they agree, or he agrees with them for a penny a day, a denarius. That is a typical day's wage for a laborer. And so he agrees with them for a denarius a day, and he sends them into his vineyard. All right, so good. Everything seems to be good. The first men, they're diligent, they're early birds, they get there, they get hired, and they go to put in a full day's work. Good. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. These guys didn't quite get up on time. And he says, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. So there's no agreement for any set fee. He says, you go and work in the vineyard, and I will give you whatever is right. They trust him. They take him at his word, and they go into the vineyard to make the best of the what is left of the day. This is at 9 o'clock in the morning. He does the same thing at noon and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then at 5 o'clock, 1 hour before quitting time, he went out and he found others standing idle. And he saith unto them, why stand ye all day here idle? Why are you standing here idle all day long? And they say, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So, we have a picture here of the owner of the vineyard, who represents God, who is the one who takes the initiative. He goes out to the marketplace in town at numerous times during the day, and he graciously invites these late sleepers and these idlers. He graciously invites them to go and work in the vineyard, and they will receive from him whatever is right. So they are invited to trust in the merciful goodness of the Lord, that he will certainly give them whatever is right. So now, everything seems to be going along just fine. And now, in verse 8, at 6 o'clock, it's quitting time. And in ancient Israel, every day that a laborer put in a day's work, he received his pay at the end of the day. So, when evening was come, The Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning from the last to the first. All right, so now the last guys, the guys who only worked for 1 hour, they are going to get paid first, and so on down the line until we come to those early birds, those diligent first hired laborers who agreed with the Lord for a penny a day. All right, so the Lord reverses everything because he's teaching us something incredibly valuable about our service to God. It is not meritorious works by which we earn God's favors and blessings, but that our service to God is all of grace. We were put into the position of being able to serve God in his vineyard, that is, in his church, by the grace that he gave us in baptism, by the precious promises of the gospel that nourished and kindled and strengthened our faith. And so in the kingdom of grace, all is a matter of mercy and grace. It is all for Christ's sake, and it is all received by faith, not earned by the works of the law. And so now, at this late hour, there's going to be some surprises. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. So here, these guys who, standing around idling all day in the marketplace, they had no illusions about themselves. And they could have easily said to one another, after the Lord invited them to serve in the vineyard, what good would it do anyway? I mean, by the time we even get to the vineyard, it'll only be a half an hour of work that we'll put in before it's time to quit. So they could have gone home in despair and given up. But they didn't. They took the Lord at his gracious invitation and his promise that whatever is right, that shall they receive. And they went into the field trusting in the rectitude, the goodness, and the mercy of the Lord. And what did they get? Totally contrary to their expectation, they got a full day's pay. They got blessed way more than they ever thought that they would be blessed. And so they have a delightful surprise that the last shall be first, because the arithmetic of grace is based on the worthiness and merit of Jesus Christ and him alone. And everything that we do because God has been gracious to us, and we, trusting in him, serve him without any thought of reward or merit. But somebody else now is going to have an unpleasant surprise. Those diligent, hard-working early birds who were there at shape-up time at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they put in a full day's work, and they received the full brunt of the heat of the day, and the labor of the day in the vineyard. And so they're watching everything go on, and they get the idea in their head, you know, since the Lord has been so gracious to those idlers, those guys that we had to put up with for the short time that they worked, ha-ha, right? Then we certainly ought to get more. If he gave them a denarius a day, a penny a day, for their short time of work, surely he'll give us much more because we put in a full day's work and we bore the heat of the day. And so they come up to the steward, and the steward hands each of them a penny. He hands each of them a denarius, exactly what they had agreed to at the beginning of the day. But because of the generosity of the owner to the latecomers, a bitterness grew in these people's hearts. Their works righteousness was revealed, and their bad theology, which says that by our works we earn favors and blessings from God, this bad theology was, it came out when they saw that the owner was so gracious to the idlers, and yet he paid them the denarius that they had agreed upon. So, what do? They murmured against the goodman of the house. That is, they began to grumble and to complain. And their grumbling and complaining was not limited to muttering and getting together in a tight little group and talking about how poorly they'd been treated. No, they say right to the owner's face, these last have wrought but 1 hour. They only put in an hour's worth of work, and you have made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. You see, in their self-righteousness, in their meritocracy, which has no place in the kingdom of grace, in their meritocracy attitude, they say, by being generous to those layabouts, you are diminishing us. You're making us look like saps for having worked so hard all day. When these guys work but an hour, they receive a denarius. You see, what they're revealing is they have no understanding of the kingdom of God. They have no understanding of the salvation of God. They have labored long and hard in the kingdom of grace under the misapprehension that they were, by their works, earning something from God. And now they learn, to their chagrin and their displeasure, that such is not the case. And so the Lord says to them, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Didn't you agree with me for a penny? Isn't this what we settled on early in the morning? Take what is yours and run along. All right, so he curtly dismisses them for their bad attitude and their bad faith. And he says, I will give unto this last even as unto thee. I want to be generous to this last group as I was generous to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I want with my own? Is your eye evil because I am good? And that's where the parable ends, with the owner saying to these men, is your eye evil because I am good? You see, as long as we think that our works, our service to God, our sacrifices to God are meritorious works that earn favors and blessings from God, whenever we see God being gracious and merciful to those who don't deserve it, our eye becomes evil and we resent graciousness and we resent people who receive gracious gifts from God. And so what this parable is saying to each one of us is that we want to be in the kingdom of grace like those thankful people who went to work in the vineyard for however long they worked because of the Lord's goodness and his promise to do right by them. They didn't go into the vineyard with any thought of merit, with any thought of reward. They went into the vineyard trusting in the goodness of the Lord, and they received more than they deserved, more than they ever thought that they would receive. And so it is a delight to serve in the kingdom, even when the labor is long, when we have the right attitude that all is of grace and all is by faith. And then Jesus says at the end, so the last shall be first. The persons who we didn't think were worthy, they ended up being worthy not because they merited it by their works, but because they trusted in the goodness of the Lord. And the first end up being last. Why? Because in the end, they reveal themselves to be works mongers and merit seekers and reward seekers. For many be called, but few chosen. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.